Well, good morning. How's everybody today? We're going to be finishing up our series, 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting. And let's finish strong. Today's the last day. Now, if you started on Monday at 12:01 a.m., the 21st day does not end until tonight at midnight. So don't go out to eat after church and break your fast. Let's stay strong to the very end. Amen? Amen. Release the kids. J-High. Any J-High kids in here? Let's give it up for our J-High kids and our J-High leaders. Amen. By the way, we need more J-High leaders. We need men and women who know what it's like to be a growing adolescent, grade 6, 7, and 8, that need to be taught the Word of God. They need to be shown the love of God. It's a great age group. They're in between the little sponges that want to soak everything up and the high schoolers that think they know everything. And they oscillate in confusion. Sometimes they think they know it all, and then they're reminded they don't. A special age group. In fact, that's the age that Jesus crossed into spiritual maturity when he was 12. And so we need men and women to help our teens cross over into spiritual maturity. So if you've worked with J-High kids before, and that age group is just, I love that age group. I want to work with that age group. Would you go to the Welcome Center today and give them your name and number, and we'll have Pastor Jacqueline call you this week and tell you more about it. So, good. Today we're going to be finishing up the series. I've spent the last 3 weeks talking about fasting. And you've heard me say every week that when you do it the right way for the right reasons, it gets results. It changes things spiritually and physically. Today, though, I want to finish up talking about prayer. Because I believe that people will pray as much as they believe it will work. If you've ever prayed before and God didn't answer your prayer the way you thought he could or should, and then you quit praying because you told yourself, see, prayer doesn't work. I want to speak to that today because that's a lie from the enemy. And we need to understand there are some reasons why God doesn't answer your prayer. But it's only probably for your best interest. Or you're praying with the wrong attitude, or you're praying with the wrong motives, or whatever it is. Parents, do you give your kids everything they ask for? Do you expect your Heavenly Father to do the same for you? So today we're going to talk about, I've called this sermon Priority, because we need to make prayer a priority. And I'm going to kind of give you some real good reasons why you should pray. I'm going to give you a few more good reasons of why you should keep praying if you stopped. And so would you start by praying with me? Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this message. I bind the evil one that's going to try to distract and interfere in a message we need to hear. And so, Holy Spirit, I invite you to come and give us ears to hear and a heart to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 4 and Luke chapter 18. I'm not going to go into a lot of details about what prayer is. Let me say it this way. It's simply talking and listening to God. It's communicating with God. And all through the Bible, we see ordinary men and women, just like you and me. We think they're extraordinary because they're in the Bible, but really in their day, they were ordinary men and women that were learning about this thing called faith, and they would exercise their faith by talking to an unseen God. And that's still true today. We exercise our faith talking to an unseen God, but a God who has made himself real to us at some point or many times in our life. So it's talking and listening. And at times they would praise him when things were going well. Other times they would petition him when they needed something. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything. Pause. The big butt's coming. Do not be anxious about anything. Paul's saying, don't worry. Don't get stressed out. Don't walk in fear. Amen. About anything. Big things, small things. But in everything. I love the comparison or the contrast between don't be anxious about anything, but in everything. By what? Prayer and petition. With thanksgiving. Present your request to God. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. 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 I talk to people from time to time, they go, well, that's just such a small thing. You know, God has more to worry about. Listen, if it's important to you, it's important to God. That's what I hear Paul saying. If it's important to you, it's important to God. In fact, all through Scripture, we see people, they went to God about all kinds of things. Things that mattered to them in the moment that they went to God. I made a list. Abraham and Sarah went to God because they wanted a child. Some of you, maybe that's you. Maybe you've been trying to have kids and you haven't. Keep going to God. Solomon went to God for wisdom. All of us could use more wisdom. Today, before you go to bed, pray, God, give me more wisdom. Moses went to God to be in his presence. We all. That's one of the beauties about fasting. It puts you in God's presence. Who in here got in God's presence during your 21-day fast? Yeah. Samson prayed for strength. Daniel prayed for an interpretation of dreams. Revelation. Gideon for a sign. David for forgiveness. Elijah for rain. Paul to remove a burden. Disciples for boldness. All these things, big and small, mattered to God because it mattered to them. So let me ask you, what matters to you right now? Is it a financial thing? Is it health related? Is it a marriage issue? Something with your kids, grandkids? What matters to you right now? When you look at your life, what doesn't look quite right? What appears this needs to be fixed? I wish this were different. This isn't the best. What is that? Whatever that is, it matters to God because it matters to you. And don't let fear come on the scene, or anger, or hatred, or bitterness, or depression. Turn your attention to God and invite him in a conversation. Invite him into that, whatever that is. Talk about it. And then exercise your faith that he hears your prayer and that he's going to do something about it. I got to a place a few years back after I prayed for a good friend of mine to live and not die. And he died. And I kind of dialed God out. And I resolved that, God, you're going to do what you want to do, so what's the use of me praying? I prayed according to your will, and it didn't turn out. Anybody ever experienced that? You can't turn off prayer because of things like that. Because God has answered so many other prayers. And I don't know why he answered some and not all. I wrote down a few reasons as to why parents don't always answer their kids' requests. That'll help. Maybe his silence was his answer, right? Parents, you ever told your kids, we're not talking about it. We're not talking about it. Maybe that's a no, maybe that's a not now. Or maybe, work with me, maybe he's thinking, that's really a bad idea. What you're asking for is a bad idea. You don't see it, but I do. Trust me. You don't want that. Some of you, you don't have a good picker. You tend to pick people that don't go well. And if God could write it on the wall, he might say, change your picker. But for now, you know what he's saying? Nope, not answering that one. Thank God. The next time you're going, well, what about him or what about her? And you don't hear anything. Just begin to give thanks. He's probably helping you out. Or maybe that's not my plan. You're wanting to go there. My plan is for you to go there. I'm not going to send you in a direction. That's not my will for your life. Or maybe he's testing you to see. Do you really believe? Or do you only believe when things go your way? Could it be that a delayed answer is a test of your faith? We're going to get to that in a minute. So can I just say this? I don't know why God doesn't answer all the prayers the way I think he should or could. But he's God and I'm not. And I just have to trust the Father knows best. And I have to lay it out there and let him know. And I did. I told him this when this happened. I said, I don't think you got it very well. And he said, thank you for your opinion. But it just felt good to get it off my chest. I just had to tell God. He didn't got it very well. A few days later, he said, when you create a sunset, Bob, you can tell me how to God. Yes, sir. So there's all kinds of reasons why God maybe doesn't answer our prayers the way we think he should or could, but I have a few good reasons to pray anyway. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write these down. This will push you through the times where you may be disappointed when prayers don't work out your way. Reason number one, we're commanded to do so. And if you don't, you're sinning, and we know where sin takes us. Samuel implied it's a sin not to pray. 1 Samuel 12:23. Got the verse up there? God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. If we're not praying, it's a sin. So let's all go ahead and repent. Lord, forgive me for those times that I didn't pray because I didn't trust it or I didn't trust you or I didn't think it would work. Forgive me for that. It's a sin. And I ask forgiveness. Paul, pray continually. Why? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray continually means don't quit, don't stop praying. He didn't just say pray, he said pray continually. Jesus raised the bar. He said, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Not a hint, not a suggestion. He commands us to pray for those we don't even like, to pray for those that we might even say we hate. And you're thinking, why? Well, parents, what do you tell your kids? Because I said so. It's a command. Do it anyway. Even if you don't get it, do it anyway. I might show you later, you might see it later. I don't know, but do it anyway. Jesus prayed. Here's point number two, another good reason to pray. Jesus prayed. He didn't just talk about it, he did it. Mark 1:35, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he what? Where he prayed. And he prayed about everything, and he prayed all the time. Because Jesus knew that prayer was a priority if he was going to live for God. Now, he was God, but he also lived for God. That's another sermon. If you want to be like Jesus, you need to make prayer a priority. We should pray because Jesus prayed and because God commanded it. Here's reason number three. We need prayer. Who in here is saved? How did you receive salvation? You exercised your faith by confessing with your mouth and repenting of your sins in the form of a prayer. Prayer doesn't save you. Prayer is just the process of communication that brings salvation. So we need it. We've all made a mess of things, and we need God's help. The way we get it is we pray and ask God to help me. That's one of the best prayers I can think of. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me, Lord. Temptation, help me, Lord. You're having an ungodly thought. Help me, Lord. Jesus, help me. That's prayer. John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins. When we confess our sins and repent, we are praying to God. It's done. It's a form of communication. In the original Greek tense, it's the present tense verb. It's not something we've done. It's something we continually do. So we could say this. We could use the word confessing our sins, present. Confessing our sins, present and continual. Confessing our sins. If we do that, God will presently and continually forgive us our sins. And who knows, that's something we need. Okay, so we need it. Here's number four. Prayer helps others. I love that about our church. Almost every week, someone will send in a prayer request, not for themselves, but for somebody else. And it's because they believe in some at some level that prayer helps others. It does. It's an encouragement. Going through this fast, every week I would hear from a few people. They would send me a text or leave me a message or email me or something saying, I'm praying for you, Pastor. Stay strong on your fast. That helped me. That was wind in my sail. And I prayed for other people too. It helps when people pray for one another. Which is why every Sunday, almost every Sunday, we have prayer partners come forward to pray for you. Because we believe that prayer works and it will help you. And every Wednesday night here at church for 1 hour, from 6 to 7, we have people come together to pray for you and to pray for one another. Why? Because we believe prayer works and it helps. Things change when we pray. Every week in our Bible studies and life groups, we make time for prayer. Why? Because we believe it works and it helps people. We've had this for over a year, going on 2 years, first Wednesday, where we have a prayer service the first Wednesday of every month, where we do mostly prayer, some worship. Why? Because we believe in prayer and we believe that it helps people. And so I'm going to kind of issue a challenge to our church. Start showing up for prayer. I'm going to give you some good reasons here in a minute, but start showing up for prayer and demonstrating your faith that prayer does work. Prayer not only is commanded in Jesus prayed, but it helps us and it helps others. And if you'll show up an hour to pray with your brothers and sisters in Christ, it will build your faith. I believe God will bless your prayer life because you're putting him first in that way. and your prayer life will go to a whole nother level. Amen. It also builds strength and unity in the body of Christ when we pray for one another. You've heard the expression, families that play together, stay together. I believe that families that pray together, stay together. And so start this in your home. Have a time every day where you gather your family and just pray for one another. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for your church. Show your kids that prayer is important and let them pray in their own way. Let them pray and talk to God. And then five, prayer changes things. Who would say that prayer has changed your life? Well, if you're saved, it certainly did. Right? It changed your eternal destination. That's how big prayer works. Okay? Look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. Second Chronicles 7:14. If, say if. You're going to see a if and a then. If the first part is true, the second part will be true. So it's conditional. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, say then, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The if is our part. The then is God's part. If we'll do our part, he says he'll do his part. And when that happens, things change. If they didn't do that first part, we could assume that God's not going to heal our land and forgive our sins. But if we do the first part, he says he'll do the second part. And notice it says, if my people will humble themselves. And last week I mentioned that many times, that means fast. Let me reread it. If my people who are called by my name will fast and pray. If. No promises if you don't fast and pray. But there's a promise if you do. Your life will be better if you fast and pray. But you have your part. God could do his part, but maybe he says, I'm not going to until you do your part. So five good reasons to pray. Now, let me give you three more to keep praying if you stopped. Turn to Luke chapter 18. A few good reasons we should keep praying. Last week I talked about keep fasting, fast forward. I'm going to challenge you to pray forward. This is the parable of the persistent widow. In eight verses, Jesus gives three reasons to keep praying. I'm going to read the whole passage and I'm going to show you the three reasons. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. In other words, keep praying. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. Today that might be Washington, D.C. The Supreme Court. Okay. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. In other words, he didn't answer that prayer right away. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, she keeps seeking, she keeps asking, in other words, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night continually? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Now, I know what you're thinking. He hadn't answered my prayer quickly. Let me remind you, a day is as of 1,000 years to God. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So, reason number one. The reason we should keep praying is sometimes the answer is going to be delayed. In fact, the very first verse is the disclaimer for the story. Guys, I'm telling you this story because you need to know that sometimes the answer is going to be delayed, and you need to know that so you don't quit too soon. That's the disclaimer of the story. There wouldn't be a need for the disclaimer if people didn't quit praying. And if prayers always got answered immediately, we wouldn't quit praying. So God's acknowledging what we all know. He doesn't answer prayers right away for whatever reason. That's his deal, not ours. We need to know that. So we need to keep praying until something happens. We have an equipping class called Class 201. And one of the topics is prayer. And with this verse about continually praying, I tell them, well, how do we know when to quit praying? And I say, either when you change or they change or the situation changes. Keep praying. You can never go wrong if you follow that advice. Just keep praying until something changes. Or maybe you interpret the delay as a denial. No, it's just a not now. I mean, besides God having a billion people he's got to look after. Some of you have 4 or 5 kids, and some of the kids ask you as a parent, why aren't you doing this right now? Well, I've got some other kids I got to take care of. So give God a little slack, would you? Give him a little grace. Maybe the season isn't right. Maybe he's setting up things. Maybe that job that he wants to bless you with isn't quite vacant yet. He's working on getting that guy or that girl out of that so he can put you in there. You're not patient, guess what? And you move on, you're going to miss God's plan if you're not patient and waiting for him. So just understand the bigger picture. It's not all about you and me. There's other people at play. There's other institutions and organizations that are affected by whatever you're praying for. And so let's trust in God and just understand that sometimes prayers will be delayed. So if you've stopped praying for one of those reasons, I'm going to challenge you today, would you get back on your knees? Start praying again. Keep praying. And give him time to answer your prayer. Amen. Here's number two. Sometimes perseverance is essential for success. Success meaning God's will be done. God's purpose for your life. The widow in this story was persistently pursuing and pressuring the judge to give her what she needed because she realized she didn't have any other sources or recourse to get what she needed. So she had no other option but to pray. And she gave up on that. Her hopes were dashed. She represents you and me in the story. Sometimes the only solution or answer is for us to keep praying because if we stop, that ain't going to help. We're like that widow. We don't have any other sources or resources or recourse to really do what only God can do. And if we keep praying, our hopes are dashed. And so, in the same way that her continually asking that judge to come through for her, her persistence was essential for her success, it's essential for ours. Now, when you read this parable, you might get the thought that Jesus is comparing God with the judge in the story and us with the widow. That's not really true. That's not really his aim. And instead of comparison, it's really a parable of contrast. What he's saying is if an unjust, uncaring judge, who God isn't, will do that for a helpless woman, how much more will your judge, who is righteous and loving and caring, do for you? That's the point he's trying to make. Amen? Because, and the third point is, you're special to God. You are. I mean, if you've forgotten it, let me give you a reminder. Do you get the visual? Or do I need to put nails in my hands and bleed for you? God loves you this much. Why would he not want to answer your prayers? Now listen, you got to be open to him answering them in a different and better way than what you expect. Or you're now being God telling him what to do. And yeah, it can be very frustrating and disappointing. But it's still the truth. He is omniscient. We're not. He's omnipotent. We're not. Quit trying to project your little g on big G. It will never work. That's why it requires faith. And it's interesting that that last verse in verse 8 talked about where will he see faith when he comes? Turn to that verse. Verse 8. However, when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? Now, the reason I say that's interesting is he hasn't been talking about faith. He's been talking about persevering in prayer. So why would he end with a question about faith unless the two weren't connected? If your faith were determined by your prayer life right now, would God pass over you? He says, when my son returns, will he find anybody at G Church with faith? As described by their prayer life. So that would be a good question to ask yourself. What does your prayer life reveal about your faith? You say you believe, but you're not praying because you don't believe it works. That ain't faith. I'm just wondering if that will help be the catalyst for change this year. You walk out of here today, turn over a new leaf, draw a new line in the sand. Say, you know what? My faith ain't very strong if you look at my prayer life. I'm going to work on that this year. I'm going to change that. I'm going to take my prayer life to the next level. I want my prayer life to match my faith or what I think my faith level is. And if you need help, we have a class to help you. It's called 201. Put it down on your calendars, February 2nd, Saturday. Coming up soon. We're here to help you because we believe that prayer works and prayer makes a difference. Amen. Smith Wigglesworth. This is an old-time theologian, probably 1800s, I'm thinking. Chris, somewhere in there. Here's a quote from Smith Wigglesworth. And this is kind of my life. I like Smith. Here's what he said. I rarely pray for more than 20 minutes at a time. Yet I rarely let 20 minutes go by without praying. I love that. That's me. It's hard for me to sit down and pray for an hour or two. It's just it. It's hard. But rarely do I let an hour or two go by without praying? So I probably need to get it down to 20 minutes, but I think that's what Paul meant. Pray continually without ceasing. Pray all throughout the day. So when you first get up, okay, get your coffee. Maybe take a shower, wake up, but then pray before you go on with your day. What about when you sit down to eat? Won't you just take some time to pray before and after your meal? Just connect with God. And as you're driving around town with your eyes open, pray. Turn off the music, turn off the whatever you listen to, and just talk to God while you're driving around town. Before you go to bed. I like that it says that Jesus got up early in the morning while it was still dark. So if you want to pray like Jesus, have an early morning quiet time before your day gets busy, before the enemy has an opportunity to bring a distraction to you when you get to the office or take the kids to school. Pray first. Pray first. Just imagine, as I'm ending this series on prayer and fasting, just imagine if we put this into practice and on a regular basis, we humbled ourselves in fasting and we prayed, the difference it will make in our life. The better our attitudes, the better our productivity, the better our relationships, the stronger our faith, the stronger our faith, the stronger our families, the stronger our families, the stronger our church. I'm believing that prayer and fasting, if we'll do it the way we've heard it from God, will make this coming year probably our best year ever. And so I want to leave you with that today. Would you bow your heads? Father, thank you for speaking to us over these last 4 weeks about prayer and fasting. And I think most of us would agree our prayer life, certainly our fasting, could use a boost. I pray that we'll be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Lord, let us not walk in deception, thinking we have it all figured out and things are good when we're not doing what you've told us to do. Holy Spirit, bring the conviction you need that would lead to obedience and eventually to your blessing our life. Help us to make it a priority from this point forward.